All right, we've got a Hall of Famer on the line.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. He's got a new gig.
We have to figure out what it is.
What is the gig? Does he have business cards? Is he a big
I guarantee shooter? It'll be something to do with stats.
Yes.
You think it's an analytical view? All right, here he is. Friend of the show. He's a new special advisor in Florida with the Panthers. Here is Chris Pronger. What's happening, Chris?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. You sound like a new man already.
Yeah, you're in executive mode. No more funny stuff, huh, Prongs?
Doing excellent, gentlemen. Doing excellent. And I use that term loosely.
So take us through the new role. What's this going to have you doing down in Florida?
A lot of everything, you know. Do some scouting. Watch a team. Do a little pro scouting, amateur scouting. Consult with Dale just on players, anything. You know, just being another voice, another somebody for him to lean on who has played, who understands the dynamics of the game. Has won before. I think we're trying to build a team that is in it for the long haul and can be a part of something moving forward for years to come and win championships.
How challenging, Chris, do you find it for a player of your caliber to watch players, like a lot of people that were as good as you, they have a difficult time watching players that are just average because it's just hard to decipher what they're doing out there or what their thought process is. How do you go about watching and making assessments?
Well, I think you have to understand the dynamic of the team and understand everyone plays a role. You know, you're going to have your stars, you're going to have your plumbers, your checkers, your defensive defensemen, your offensive defensemen. You know, all of those pieces that are vital and crucial to winning championships, and you look at a team like Pittsburgh, who's now gone back-to-back. The depth that they have in their organization through the minor league system all the way up was critical, especially this year with all the injuries they had in their success. And, it takes a little bit of time. You got to hit on, you know, as you saw with their team, they got third and fourth liners playing pretty big roles, you know, complementary pieces to their superstars, but they're still playing big roles and playing a lot of minutes.
Speaking of plumbers, I will be asking the next question.
Well, how about this question, Jamie? Is the least important role on a team the backup goaltender?
I would argue that it isn't.
Exactly.
Mainly because, A, that player is there to keep the guys loose.
Yes.
But secondly, I think when you're working on things in practice, as Noodles can attest to, you need a goalie that's willing to sacrifice himself sometimes for one-timer shots off the crossbar, off his neck, off his throat, off his chest, his collarbones. Players, go through funks and need to work on things. But he also has to have a good work ethic because he's staying out there so much longer after that starter because there are players, whether it be the seventh defenseman, the 13th forward, the injured guys, whoever it may be, or the player, as we talked about, that they might be in a slump or struggling with his confidence. He may need to shoot on that goalie and work on things, and it's crucial. It's not the day of like three or four players winning you a championship; they're gone. You know, with the salary cap era and the depth that some teams need. Case in point, we just talked about at Pittsburgh. You got to have a good 27, 28 strong of players that can play minutes in the National Hockey League and on into the playoffs to be successful, and whether it be you're making deals at the deadline, moving guys in and out, moving guys up and down, whatever the case may be, you've got to be willing to have that depth and in order to be successful.
Overdrive continues live from the NHL Draft in Chicago. We're chatting with Hall of Famer Chris Pronger. He's got a new role as a special advisor down in Florida.
And I think I'll go back to what you were describing. It's called ladies' tease as far as guys just driving away at you. But I actually wanted to, before you took the job, did you, when you knew that Florida was interested, did you take a look at the organization and what do you believe that the Panthers have right now and moving forward?
I did, actually. That's a good question, Noodles. I did. You know, I'm a firm believer in the teams that you see that are successful year in and year out and have a chance to win the Stanley Cup are built up the middle. Strong center icemen, good core defense group, and strong goaltending. And the Panthers certainly have that. And then it's about, as we talked about, we will go back to the Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. you supplement those core, that core group of players. Like, I think Barkov's a star. Trocheck's, you know, played the All-Star game last year and conceivably could become a star. Bukestad had an off year, and we hope to build up his confidence. You look at Ekblad, Matheson, you look at the group back there, and then with Luongo and Reimer and Nett, you've got a pretty good group up the middle, and then it's about supplementing pieces around them and making sure that you're doing it the right way, and you're building through the draft, and you're making good, smart hockey trades once you get your cap under control.
We're chatting with Hall of Famer Chris Pronger. We're live at the NHL Draft in Chicago. The expansion draft played out last night. Now, there will still be more moving parts as we go forward here, but a lot of people speculating on how it would all play out. A lot of amateur GMs out there. I think everyone was doing this in the hockey world. As an amateur...
And some not in the hockey world.
Yeah, exactly. And some not in the hockey world. Did it play out the way you thought it would? Any surprises? What did you make of it?
Yeah, I think you knew they were going to be making some deals, and some of the moves, the picks that they made. You understand they weren't going to take 30 players that were going to play on the roster because you can't have that many spots. You got to move some of those pieces off for assets, which he's doing. But I think overall, you get, when you look around the league, every team is always searching for another defenseman. They always want to add a depth defenseman or a fourth, fifth, sixth defenseman, which there was an abundance of in the expansion draft. So I think he's using those to gain assets back, mainly draft picks, prospects, for players for the future. And, you know, I think for them, I think they're very excited about what they've been able to do. They got 3 first-round picks this year, a couple seconds, and, you know, on and on and on. So they're going to be able to stockpile their pipeline and then continue to do that, I would think, in the next 2 to 3 years, and then I'm sure they're going to start looking at turning that corner and seeing where they're at, and then building towards championship caliber contender each and every year.
We're always talking about trades either that happen or that could potentially happen, and everyone has a different viewpoint of the value of specific players and different positions. You just mentioned, you know, stockpiling defensemen, and it really feels like they're at a premium right now, and I'm sure they always have been, but for whatever reason, it's really highlighted over the past couple of years. And then you throw the salary cap into it, and it really can get complicated. You're in a role now where you'll be involved in some trade talk. How do you think, you know, the modern game has changed the way we look at trades and how difficult it can be to actually pull the trigger on a trade?
Well, it's hard because the salary cap's involved, but I think to go back to the root of the question, talking about defensemen, the reason why defensemen are in such high commodity now is that Noodles and O-Dog can attest to it. There's no guys that wear snowshoes out there anymore. You have to be mobile. You have to skate. And they're hard to come by. And when you have a boatload of them now, some of them, anyways, in Vegas, they can then flip those for assets that they need or want to stockpile. So it's a position that, with the speed of the game increasing each and every year, it becomes harder and harder to play. So you gotta draft mobile defensemen. You gotta cultivate and develop them, and then you gotta get them into your system, all under that salary cap system, where you're getting them to play for $750, $800. And then, as they develop and move on, they're obviously bumping up pretty quick because you probably schooled them and developed them in the minors a little bit and got them in your system and on and on and on. So it becomes very difficult, and then you have to do that up front too. So drafting has become more and more important over the course of the salary cap era, just due to the fact of you need 2 or 3 or 4 players on an ELC contract to make your numbers work under the salary cap.
Well, if you want your team to be the most penalized team in the league, you should teach your defenseman how to chop wood in front of the net, and then you'll have some issues out there.
You're just setting a precedent. That's all. Don't go there.
That's right, man. Send a message.
Don't go there if you don't want to get hit.
That's right. Congrats on the new gig, and we always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you, Chris.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have fun.
There he is, Hall of Famer Chris Pronger, special advisor down in Florida.